Now, if anyone comes in a little later that is 6 years old and younger, we have a special class over here for them, okay? Some seem to think that the material maybe was a little too deep for them for some reason. But anyways, we have a group over here that is being taught 6 and under, okay? So if y'all can help me with that. And that age group, the rest of you are still stuck with me, though, okay? All right. So, let us begin. Of course, our theme this week is Jesus' name above all names, right? And does anybody remember what passage in the Bible that comes from? Anyone, anyone? It's the verse we're supposed to remember this week. Good thing we're going to go over it again today, I guess. Here's the passage, Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him, notice, the name which is above every name. There it is, Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, really 9 through 11, but that's the verse we want to try to remember, okay? All right. And so yesterday we studied about how Jesus is called many times in Scripture the Lamb of God. Does anybody remember how many times he's called the Lamb of God in the book of Revelation? That was one of the ones you filled in on your sheet, Joseph? Well, close. 26 times, okay? And that's just the book of Revelation. He's referred to as the Lamb of God in other places as well in the Bible, right? But this morning, we want to consider how Jesus is the good shepherd. When you think about a shepherd, children, can you think of any shepherds in the Old Testament? Is there a shepherd or shepherds that come to mind we read about? Josiah?
David.
I bet he stole some of yours, didn't he? David was a shepherd, wasn't he? Okay, we'll talk a little bit more about David later. And who else? Who else was a shepherd? Colton, you know somebody else was a shepherd? Okay, you remember yesterday, Abel, what did he have? What did he take care of? He took care of sheep, didn't he? And then Abraham and really all those patriarchs, Isaac, Jacob, we know had sheep. Remember when Jacob sent Joseph to go check on his brothers in Genesis 37? It was to check on them and the sheep, the flock, okay? And that's when they ended up selling him as a slave, remember? Okay? But there's a lot of shepherds we read about in the Bible, in the Old Testament, right? In fact, if you think about in the New Testament, the night Jesus was born in Bethlehem, angels made that announcement to who? Who were some of the first individuals to find out? Chloe? Shepherds who were out in the fields with their sheep. Okay? And so, Old Testament, New Testament, shepherds. And so when Jesus refers to himself here in John 10, as I am the good shepherd, just know that his audience can relate to what he's talking about. Because, I mean, we don't see it a lot in our day and age, right? We don't see it a whole lot. But shepherds were very common at that time, okay? They would always see sheep out and shepherds, Old Testament times and New Testament times, okay? All right. So, as we think about David again as a shepherd, and I know our grown-ups know this, what's one of the most well-known and loved psalms in the book of Psalms? The Lord is my shepherd, right? Okay. Here's the key word. We're about to get to Psalm 23. The key word today, and you all have your worksheet there. Fill that in. The key word I want you to remember for today is the word follow. Okay? Does anyone remember the key word from yesterday? Right? Sacrifice. Right? And so yesterday when we talked about how Jesus is the Lamb of God, our key word was sacrifice. But today it is follow. Because Jesus is the good shepherd and the sheep are to what? Follow the shepherd. Now, who are the sheep when we think about Jesus being the shepherd?
The people.
People, we are. Those who are believers in God, those who become Christians, right? We are to follow the good shepherd, Jesus, right? Well, notice here in Psalm 23, where it begins by saying the Lord is our shepherd. There's a lot of the Psalms that picture God, the Lord, as our shepherd. Okay? Of course, the most well-known one is this one right here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me. Think about a shepherd again, leading. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Of course, a shepherd oftentimes would be carrying what? A rod, a staff to lead and guide the sheep to where they needed to go. Okay? And that's one of your questions, right? Run under the key word. You have this passage, and you're supposed to fill in some key words. Did you all get those words in yet? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green what? In green pastures. He leads me beside the still. He leads me beside the still waters. Okay. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. All right. Here's another one. This time in Psalm 77:20. And you don't have a question for each of these, just some of these. So you're going to pay attention to which one you need to fill in something. But in the Word of God, we read, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So Moses and Aaron are pictured kind of as the shepherds of Israel who led the Israelites as what? As a flock, like a flock, like sheep. Psalm 79, verse 13. So we, your people and sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. We will show forth your praise to all generations. And then in Psalm 80 and verse 1, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. And then in Psalm 95 and verse 7, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And then this is on your sheet, Psalm 100 verse 3, okay? Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people. And notice again, and the sheep of His pasture. Okay? Y'all getting the words you need filled in your blanks? All right. Okay. Now, Christ, though, is also pictured as being our shepherd, okay? In the Old Testament, what are the last 17 books called? Remember? Those of you who come to the children's class, we go through the periods of Bible history, but we also go through the divisions of the Bible in the Old Testament. What are those last 17 called? Remember the last 17 books of the Old Testament? Y'all know this. Chloe? Thank you. The prophets, right? The prophet books. And so a lot of times when those prophets spoke, they talked about something that's going to happen in the future. And what do we call those? Prophecies, right? Talk about prophecies. So in the Old Testament, when it comes to Jesus, there's a lot of prophecies about him, right? About what he's going to do, how he's going to be, those kind of things. And so here in the book of Isaiah in chapter 40 and verse 11, here's a messianic prophecy. Christ is called the Messiah. Here's a messianic prophecy, and it connects Jesus with being a shepherd, okay? Here in Isaiah 40, verse 11, notice, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. So right there, it kind of describes, doesn't it, quite a bit, what kind of shepherd will he be? He will be a compassionate shepherd. He'll be a loving shepherd. He'll be a tender shepherd. He'll take care of his sheep as he gathers them in his arm. He carries them. He gently will lead those who are with young. And he feeds the flock. Like what? Again, like a shepherd. Okay? And then, something that stood out to me because of this particular study, when I'm usually focused on something else from this prophecy, but remember when Jesus was born, we read about the shepherds, but who else do we read about who were looking for him? Remember, Colton? The wise men. You remember the story about the wise men? The wise men. What did they see up in the sky that was leading them to where Jesus was? What were they following? Following a star that they saw. Star in the east. And so we've come to worship the King of the Jews, they said, as they came before King Herod of Judea. And remember, Herod called in the scribes, those who are supposed to be experts in the law of Moses, and he asked them, where was the Christ to be born? You know what they said? Where was Jesus to be born? Y'all remember? Y'all know this, don't you? Where was he to be born, Jesse? Bethlehem. Do you remember the prophet 700 years before Jesus was born said he would be born in Bethlehem? Do y'all remember that prophet's name? What? What was his name? Sorry? No, it wasn't Isaiah. We just did Isaiah, but he was a prophet the same time Isaiah was. Over here, grown-ups, who was that prophet? Micah. Thank you, Brian. It was Micah, okay? And so when they are asked by Herod, the scribes are asked by Herod, in Matthew chapter 2 is where I'm at, if you want to look at it. In Matthew chapter 2, they come looking for the King of the Jews to worship him. They were bringing him some gifts, right? They also were bringing him gifts. But when Herod asked the scribes, where is the Christ to be born? They quoted from the prophet Micah. Okay? And here it is. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet. And again, that prophet is Micah. And it's in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 in your Old Testament. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Now, normally when I'm talking about this prophecy in Micah, it mentions how he's from everlasting. So that speaks of course, Christ being God and eternal. And then in both Micah and Matthew, it speaks of how he will be a ruler. Right? How a ruler, and of course he emphasized that he's going to be born in Bethlehem, and Micah identified the place where he would be born 700 years before. But the part I really didn't pay a whole lot of attention to for some reason before is how it says in Matthew's account, he will shepherd my people Israel. Okay? So again, Christ is connected with being a shepherd. Okay? All right. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 and 36. And right after this passage, we'll have another one on your sheet that you'll be filling in some words in those blanks, okay? When we go to Mark 6. But right now, Matthew chapter 9, Beginning in verse 35, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. Notice why? Because they were weary and scattered like what? They were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. There's nothing really much more dangerous than sheep that don't have a shepherd. What does a shepherd do for sheep? We've already know some of it in the verses we've read, right? All right, what does a shepherd do for sheep?
He cares for them.
He cares for them. That's right. Remember the Isaiah 40 prophecy about Christ being a shepherd and how he carries them in his bosom, right? What else about a shepherd and his sheep? Yeah, he cares for them. What else does he do for them, Jesse? He protects them from dangers, right? And there's dangers, right? And we read about them in the Old Testament with David and his sheep that he protected. And so he cares for them. He protects them. Bree? Sorry? He feeds them. He makes sure they're fed well. Okay? So again, when Jesus looks at... Now, he's not actually looking at sheep, right? Here, he's looking at people. He's looking at people. And he sees that they're weary. And not just physically speaking, spiritually speaking. They're scattered. They don't have a leader. They don't have someone to guide them. They don't have someone to properly feed them. Now, didn't Israel at this time, didn't the Jews at this time have rulers over them? And you can shake your head this way. Yeah. Remember the Pharisees? Remember the Sadducees? Remember the scribes we just referred to in Matthew chapter 2? So they had rulers over them, but were they good rulers? Were they good shepherds? They were bad shepherds. In fact, Jesus in Matthew 15 says they're the blind that are leading the blind. And the blind lead the blind, they're both going to fall where? To a ditch, right? So they didn't really have a good shepherd. Remember Jesus in John 10 says, I am the what? I am the good shepherd. They had a lot of bad shepherds, but they didn't have a good shepherd until Jesus came. And so he had compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. And guess what Jesus began to do then? He began to shepherd them. Okay? We see that especially brought out in this next passage in Mark chapter 6 and verse 34, where we read, and Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So what did he do? So he began to shepherd them. So he began to teach them many things. Okay? That gives us a very good idea of what kind of shepherd Jesus was. Another aspect of Jesus as a shepherd is that he, as a good shepherd, he's going to what? He's going to teach us, right? And how does Jesus teach us, young people? How does Jesus teach us? What do you have in your lap, a lot of you? You got a B-I-B-L-E, right? And so Jesus teaches us through his word, right? Especially through the New Testament. That's his law to us. And so when we study it, when we read the Bible, there's Jesus. He's shepherding us if we'll listen. He's guiding us if we'll pay attention and do what he says, right? And he'll protect us and take us and lead us to the right places, again, if we listen to what he says. And so what's our key word today?
Follow.
Good, Jeremiah. Follow. He's the shepherd. Our job is to, our responsibility is to follow this good shepherd, okay? Is the good shepherd ever going to lead us into danger? Is he going to ever not take care of us? No. Is he ever going to do bad things to us? No. Everything that's right and good, our good shepherd is going to do for us, his sheep. Okay? So I am the good shepherd. And what does the good shepherd do for his sheep? John 10 and verse 11. What does the good shepherd do for his sheep? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, right? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Let me take you back for a moment to the Old Testament. What was that big, tall giant's name in the Old Testament we read about? Benjamin?
Goliath.
Goliath. And what people did Goliath belong to, remember? Chloe? Yeah, the Philistines, right? And they were the big enemy of Israel at this time and other times as well. And Israel had its first king at this time. What was the first king of Israel's name? Dryson? Saul. Now, here comes this giant, right, named Goliath. Really, really tall, big guy, right? And he's killed a lot of people. And obviously no one's killed him. There he is. And he is challenging any of the men of Israel to come out and face him, right? And nobody will. Nobody will. They're all afraid, aren't they? They're greatly afraid. All these soldiers of Israel, not one of them will go out until a young shepherd boy or young man comes to the camp, finds out what's going on. And who was that?
David.
David. And he says, I'll go out and face him, right? And why was David so willing to go out and face him? Well, how did he have that great courage that no one else had? Because he had a great what? Starts with an F.
Faith.
He had a great faith in God. And so when he saw that giant, he didn't see a big giant. He just saw someone who was defying the God of Israel. And who does he think he is? And he knew that Goliath didn't stand a chance because Goliath worshipped false gods. David worshipped the true God, and David placed his faith in God. And he knew that God was going to deliver that giant into his hands that day. So I'll go face him. And so he goes out to face him. But as he's talking to King Saul, what does he tell Saul about? Because you remember, no one thought he could do it. Saul looks at David, and he's not impressed looking at him physically. There's Goliath, and here's David, a shepherd boy. And Saul's thinking, you don't stand a chance, young man. You don't stand a chance. In fact, David tried on some armor, and he couldn't even wear the armor because he hadn't tested it. He wasn't used to wearing armor. He's a shepherd, right? He's not a soldier. So he doesn't wear the armor, but Saul looks at him and says, you're not able to do this. You're too young. You're too young. And what does David say? Remember what he said? He brought up about him being a shepherd and what he had done. How had David protected his sheep? We read about this in 1 Samuel 17, verses 34 through 36. How did David protect his sheep? What did he do? That's right. A lion and a bear, probably separate times, but a lion and bear came after some of his sheep. And guess what? David didn't take off running. Would you take off running? I'm gone. See ya. I mean, I'd want a gun or something, right? But not a good shepherd does not do that. A good shepherd doesn't abandon his sheep. He doesn't take off running just because there's danger. He loves his sheep, and his sheep know him, and he's with them all day, every day. And so there's a very close relationship. Any of you have animals here? Any of you have a close relationship to your animal, right? You care for them, you feed them, take care of them, you love them. Something happens to them, you'd be very sad. If something tried to hurt them, wouldn't you try to protect that, your animal? Okay. Well, that's what a shepherd's going to do for his sheep, whom he loves. And so when a bear came against his sheep, he killed the bear. And when a lion came against his sheep, he killed the lion. He said, that giant is going to be just like that bear and lion, and I will kill him. And he did, right? How did David kill him? With that sling stone, right? Okay. All right. So what does the good shepherd do? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In essence, that's what David was doing. He was risking his life, right? Going against a bear and a lion. He was willing to lay down his life in order to protect his sheep. So John 10. Let's go to John 10. We've gone through all these other passages, but this is one of our main text for our study this morning, is here in John chapter 10. All right. John chapter 10. Begin reading in verse 1. Now this has verse 11. 11 through 18 is kind of the the main verses, but I want to read before that because there's some other things that Jesus mentions here that are very important for our study, okay? So verse 1, are you there in John 10? Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. There's our key word, right, for today, follow. For they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Well, we want to understand today what he spoke, and we can. But they didn't understand it, some of the Jews, the multitude. Verse 7, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. And we'll stop there at verse 18. All right. So one of your questions, what will the good shepherd do for his sheep? Did y'all answer that yet? What will the good shepherd do for his sheep? What will he do? Ellie? Yeah, ultimately he lays down his life for the sheep, right? In what ways is Jesus a good shepherd? We just really named the most important way, I believe, because he is willing to lay down his life for sheep. And that's what he did, right? When Jesus died on the cross, what was he doing? He was dying for his sheep, that he might save us. From what? From our sins. Remember yesterday? Yesterday he was the lamb. Today he's the shepherd, right? But in both of those, lamb of God, shepherd, both is emphasized that he will give his life, right, for us and for our sins. But how else is Jesus a good shepherd besides this way? What are some other ways he's a good shepherd? Okay, he takes care of his sheep and protects them. Who else is mentioned in John 10 that we just read about? Who else? Starts with an H. He's referred to a lot. Abby, do you know? The hireling. You know what a hireling is? Some of you in your Bible, like mine, will have a little number by the word hireling, and then maybe in your center column reference, if you have that in your Bible, it'll tell you a little bit more. It's not like a dictionary definition, but it's a hired man. In other words, a hireling is someone that was hired for that day to look after the sheep. Maybe the shepherd had other business, something else he had to do. And so he hires someone to look after his sheep. It's kind of like a sheep babysitter. And guess what? The sheep babysitter doesn't have any investment in those sheep. He's getting paid to watch them for the day. Do the sheep know his voice? The hireling? No. They don't know his voice. They don't recognize him. They don't have a relationship with him, right? If you children were to close your eyes, if you were to close your eyes tight, you don't open them up, and then Abby and Blake, if you close your eyes real tight, and your mother began to speak, would you recognize your mother's voice? Yeah. How old are you? 12? So for 12 years, you've been hearing, and even before, when you were in Mama's womb, you were hearing her voice, right? And so you recognize her, because she knows you so well, and you know her so well. Same thing with your father. You close your eyes, and if your dad came in the room, and I'm talking, no, that's not Dad's voice, and then Mr. Cody began to talk, yep, that's Dad, right? So think of it this way, the shepherd and his sheep, they are with each other every day. He feeds them, he guides them, he protects them, kind of like parents do for their children, right? And the love that's there, and parents, because we love our children so much, we would what? We would give our lives for them, right? Okay, so there's a lot of parallels here with a parent, a child, a shepherd, and his sheep, and that relationship. But when it came to a hireling, the sheep babysitter, we don't know this guy. And when trouble comes through those doors, okay, where's the hireling going? He's gone, right? Here comes a wolf. I'm out of here, right? Shepherd is there, and here comes a wolf. What does he do?
He stays,
and he's going to take on that wolf, right? He's going to protect his sheep, right? Yes, Benjamin. Oh, yeah? In real life, if that situation happened, you haven't heard of wolves and bears and lions attacking and killing people before? They don't always just run away. Sometimes I guess they do, but I've read of stories recently where children and adults have been attacked by these kind of animals, and they didn't just run away because they saw us, okay? Especially if we're in their territory or domain. They don't take too kindly to it. And some aren't aggressive, but some are aggressive, right? But when it comes to the Good Shepherd, he's going to protect his sheep. He's going to risk his life in order to take care of his sheep, right? Okay. So can you think of any other ways that Jesus is a Good Shepherd as you answer that question? Did you think of anything else, Blake? He leads us to God. That's right. Because there's others out there, right, that claim they're from God or they speak God's word, and they don't. They speak things that are not true. They speak lies that don't match up with Jesus' words. What does it mean, the second question there on your sheet, what does it mean to follow Jesus? Remember, that's our key word. The key word today is follow. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Follow. What does it mean to follow Jesus? How do we follow Jesus? Samuel? That's right, because when we listen to what the Bible says, we're listening to what Jesus says, right? Can you think of other ways we follow him? Jesse? Okay. When we obey him, you remember what Jesus said in John 14:15? If you love me, what? He said, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And so if we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to keep his commandments. I want you to look at verse 27. Verse 27 of John 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they what? And they follow me. Right? You see that in verse 27? My sheep, they hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And not only does he know them, as it said earlier, they know him. Right? They know him. If you look back at verse 3 of John 10, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. What does that imply if he calls his sheep by name? Now, I get it. You name your dog and you name your cat and you name your bird and you name your whatever pet. But here, he names his sheep. And he calls his sheep by name. And so that implies what? If he's given these sheep names and he knows their names, again, that implies what, Joseph? He knows the sheep on a very personal basis. Colton? Sorry? He cares for them. But there's a very close relationship if you know them by name. Don't you feel better when someone sees you and they call you by your name? Right? And they know you, they remember you, they call you by name. Right? And then versus someone who doesn't know you, doesn't know your name. There's not a relationship. They don't recognize your voice. But when it comes to Jesus as the good shepherd, he knows his sheep. He calls them by name. They know his voice. And he knows their voice. Okay? And so they follow him. All right. Matthew 18, verses 11 through 14. Here's a familiar story or parable that we've read about in Scripture. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Right? What does the Good Shepherd do? The Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Why? Because they're lost, they're in sin, and he has to die for them, right? To save them. And so why did Jesus come? Jesus came, it says here, to save that which was lost. And then what does he immediately start talking about? He starts talking about sheep. And he talks about one that went astray. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep, and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is astray? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Do you all have a question about that? I was thinking you did, but maybe you don't. Okay. And then here in Luke chapter 15, verses 3 through 7. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep that was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. And so both Matthew 18 and Luke 15 give us a similar image or picture, right? There's a sheep that's gone astray. What does the shepherd do? Does he say, oh, well, that's that sheep's loss, right? Oh, well, I still have 99 here with me. What does he do? What does he do, Colton? He leaves the 99 safe sheep, right? They're not in any danger. They're enclosed and locked up and they're protected. He leaves the 99 and he goes. Now in Matthew 18, how far does he go? He goes even into the mountain. He goes up in the mountains. Now is it easy climbing a mountain? No. But it doesn't matter. My sheep is lost. It's gone astray. And I have to find it. It's in danger out there. So he goes into the mountains. In this passage, he goes into the wilderness, right? He goes into the wilderness. Does he not leave the 99 in the wilderness at least? And then he goes and finds the one which is lost until he what? Until he finds it. And this sheep that's gone astray really is what in real life?
A person.
It's a person. And it's someone who now has gone astray and so they're a sinner, right? Because when the sinner is brought back, okay, what happens in heaven according to Luke 15? Heaven rejoices, right? The angels in heaven celebrate, rejoice. There's a sinner that was lost, went away, went astray, and has been come home and has been brought home by the shepherd, right? Okay. And then in Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Now, you young people, when you remember that when Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, who was the apostle that betrayed Jesus? I didn't say deny. Who's the apostle who betrayed Jesus? Timothy? Judas Iscariot. There was a couple of Judas. So he's Judas Iscariot, right? And what about the other apostles, though? What did they do when soldiers came to arrest Jesus in the garden? Did they stay with Jesus? Well, Peter denied him three times. Yes, he did cut off the dude's ear. But later, after that, he denied him three times, right? What did all the apostles, all the disciples do when they arrested Jesus, Jody? No, yeah, they fell asleep, but when they arrested him, they weren't sleeping when they came to arrest Jesus. What did they do? Well, later they hid, but at that time, when they came, what did they do? Does anybody know the answer that I'm looking for, Dryson? They ran away. They forsook him and fled. Jesus told them this night, before it happened, he told them, you're going to forsake me and flee from me. And he quoted an Old Testament prophecy, okay? And here it is. Then Jesus said to them in Matthew 26, verse 31, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, Jesus, and the sheep, his disciples of the flock, will be scattered. That prophecy is found in the book of Zechariah, chapter 13. And verse 7. But once again, Jesus refers to himself as being the shepherd, his disciples as the sheep. But on this occasion, they're going to abandon him. They're going to forsake him and flee, run away. Okay? Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Hebrews 13, 20. So Jesus is called what? The great shepherd of the sheep. 1 Peter 2:25, for you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to who? The shepherd and overseer of your souls. Again, that's Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 5:4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. What does that mean, when the chief shepherd appears? What's that referring to? Anybody know, Colton? Well, it's referring to Jesus, but what time? About Jesus. What event? Joseph? The second coming, right? The Lord's return. When the chief shepherd appears. And so again, even when he's envisioned as coming back, okay, the second coming, he's pictured as being a shepherd. The chief shepherd. And then finally in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 17, we read, for the Lamb, and this connects yesterday's lesson with today's lesson, by the way, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. All right, so Jesus is the good shepherd. And say the memory verse with me, please. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. All right, we'll have a brief break. Young men, if you'll help pass out the songbooks, please.